Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 31 May, 2026, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a very important announcement. Everyone involved with Vacation Bible School, there will be a meeting today after the second class in the big classroom. Everyone involved in Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is June 8th to the 12th. Tomorrow is June. It's almost here. So encourage your prayers that God would bring by His hand of grace all the people that are supposed to be here, and that He might use it to His honor and His glory to bring many sons into glory. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And as is our custom, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with You through the study of Your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in the great parenthesis in Romans. Three chapters, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, are the great parenthesis. And the first paragraph is so powerful. Romans 9, 1 through 5. The sorrow and pain in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, 1 through 5. Romans 9, 1 sounds like this. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then we only just barely got started in verse 2, that I have a great sorrow. The rest of verse 2 will sound like this. That I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart. Now in verse 1, there were two very important doctrines, the doctrine of the conscience and the doctrine of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and we have studied both of those. Now, this sorrow and pain of the Apostle Paul for his own people, the Jewish people. Paul is an Israelite. And as an Israelite and as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, now Paul in Romans 9 verse 2 expresses his great burden of sorrow and pain in his heart for his fellow Jews who have excluded themselves by not appropriating eternal salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We only exegeted the very beginning that I have a great sorrow. And this puts the spotlight on the Apostle Paul's great sorrow for his own people, the Jewish people, and for the nation Israel. And this is the same great sorrow that our Lord Jesus Christ had when he saw Jerusalem and wept. And we saw that in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. And our Lord Jesus Christ wept because he knew that the fifth cycle of national discipline was about to fall on Judea. This was the last Jewish client nation until Christ comes back at the second advent. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity? He's the Son of David. And he will sit on David's throne at the second advent and rule planet Earth when he returns. 70 AD, Titus and the Roman legions would administer the fifth cycle of national discipline, and Israel would never be a client nation to God again until Christ comes back at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. The explanation of Jesus Christ's sorrow and weeping is found in Luke 21, verses 20 to 24, and we saw that last time. From 70 AD, throughout the church age, and throughout the tribulation period, right up to the second advent, we are now living in what the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles is that period when no Jewish nation will be a client nation to God. Only Gentile nations are client nations to God in the times of the Gentiles. In fact, currently, the United States of America is the client nation to God. After 70 AD, Rome was the client nation to God. Israel will not be a client nation to God again until the second advent and the millennial reign of Christ in the millennial kingdom. The times of the Gentiles goes from 70 AD to the second advent. We're living in the times of the Gentiles, and right now the United States is the client nation to God. How much longer we're going to be, I don't know. We are trending in the wrong way. And no spiritually mature believer who lives in a client nation to God can watch the disintegration of that nation without also having great sorrow and great pain in his heart. I know many of you, I do. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. And I also have great sorrow and great pain for this nation, the United States of America, in apostasy, in degeneracy, and we're trending the wrong way and very close to being removed as the client nation to God. There's one thing that you as a believer can do to turn everything around. And that is to live the spiritual life of the church age, to advance to spiritual maturity, and to fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates great impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ, and have the royal family honor code in your heart, and then live your life by that royal family honor code. And that royal family honor code has great respect for the laws of divine establishment, for freedom. The Royal Family Honor Code demands patriotism. And it's honorable to serve in the military. It is honorable to serve in law enforcement. It is honorable to be a police officer. It is honorable to be an ICE agent. And we should be so supportive of all these people. But in America today, in our apostasy and degeneracy, we're attacking those people. We're eliminating the police. We attack the ICE agents because we're in apostasy and degeneracy. And at that rate, we will not be a client nation to God much longer. And when it comes, I'm just going to stand back and say, we deserve everything that you bring, sir. We deserve all of it. Nail us. And besides that, we are becoming very anti-Semitic in America and hating the Jews. And God says, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. So we have the first half of verse 2, just a short verse, that I have a great sorrow. Then we have the connective use of the conjunction chi, and then an adjective, adia leptos. Looks like that in the Greek, that's A-D-I-A-L-E-I-P-T-O-S. Adia leptos. This is an adjective, and this adjective is only found two times in the New Testament Scriptures, our verse, Romans 9:2. And also 2 Timothy 1:3. So both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. Adia leptos is not found in the Septuagint. It's not found in other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So, a couple of things. One, this adjective, adia leptos, means unceasing or constant. Unceasing or constant. And Paul is describing the pain in his heart for the Jewish people. Unceasing, constant. Two, adia leptos modifies the noun odune. Looks like that in the Greek. That's O-D. U-N, long E, odune. 3, Odune is also only found 2 times in the New Testament scriptures, and once again, both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. 4, Odune means pain. Constant pain. He has adialeptos odune, constant pain, unceasing pain. Every day, he looks at the Jewish people and it breaks his heart that they have, for the most part, they're marvelous exceptions. We have marvelous exceptions in here. Don Lewis was a marvelous exception who believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Greg, marvelous exception, believed in Jesus Christ as a Savior. There are marvelous exceptions, but for the most part, the Jewish people and the Jewish nation have not believed in Christ as their Savior. And that broke the Apostle Paul's heart. So, odune means pain. This great sorrow and this constant pain is te cardia mu. It's, Paul says, it's in my heart. It's in the Apostle Paul's heart. So the corrected translation of this verse, that I have a great sorrow and a constant pain, unceasing pain, in my heart, the right lobe of his soul. 1. In the next 3 verses, Paul will specify that Israel and the Jewish people are the subject of his personal grief and pain in his heart. In the next 3 verses, Paul will specify that Israel and the Jewish people are the subject of his grief, great grief and constant pain in his heart. 2. While these same Jews were unrelenting in their judging Paul, slandering Paul, maligning Paul, Paul was unrelenting in his concern and soul burden for them. While these same Jews were unrelenting in their judging and slandering and maligning the Apostle Paul, Paul was unrelenting in his concern and soul burden for them. Three, Paul was being persecuted by the Jews. They're called the Judaizers in the Bible. The Judaizers were Jews, and they followed the Apostle Paul everywhere he went in the Roman Empire. They followed him. They persecuted him everywhere he went. So Paul was being persecuted by Jews. The Judaizers, everywhere that he went in the Roman Empire. And yet, Paul's burden is for these same Jews. And yet, Paul's burden is for these same Jews that are following him around and persecuting him, slandering him, maligning him, judging him. 4. As a winner believer, And Paul is maybe the greatest believer of all time. As a winner believer, Paul has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That's the ultimate objective for each one of us. To have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And that virtue love includes personal love for God the Father. And that's the great motivational virtue. And that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love for the people that hate you and persecute you and malign you and slander you and judge you, like the Judaizers did with the Apostle Paul. But because he had virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he loved these people who followed him, persecuted him all over the Roman Empire. He loved them with phenomenal impersonal love. Every one of them. In fact, he loved them so much, he's going to say something here. It's just amazing. He says, he's going to say, if I would go to the lake of fire if it meant you would believe in Christ as your Savior. Now, how many of you would say that? That you would go to the lake of fire. You would give up your eternal salvation. And that's impossible. Once you believe in Christ, you have eternal security. You can never lose your salvation. Even if you want to. Even if you want to go to hell, it's so that others might be saved. Impossible. But that's how much he loves the Jewish people. Impersonal love for all, and then third, occupation with Jesus Christ. So as a winner believer, the Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And this motivates him to have impersonal love for all the Jewish people. All the Jewish people, all the Judaizers, all those persecuting him, slandering him, maligning him, judging him. Five, Paul has the magnificent royal family honor code in his heart. And now you see the function of the royal family honor code. He manifests that royal family honor code to the Jewish people, to all the Jews. He would love to see them all believe in Christ as their Savior. For the most part, they have not. And there will be marvelous exceptions all along in the church age, marvelous exceptions in the tribulation, but the major, when they will see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He is the only Savior, that He is the only Redeemer, will be near the end of the tribulation, and that's when a huge amount of the Jews will place their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And they will be rescued by Christ at the second advent, brought into the millennial kingdom, and restored as the client nation to God. And the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel as the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom. Six, the Jews who persecuted Paul, Paul was burdened for them. The Jews who persecuted Paul, Paul was burdened for them. 7. The Jews who maligned and judged Paul was burdened for them. The Jews who maligned and judged Paul was burdened for them. Eight, the Jews who tried to destroy his ministry, Paul was burdened for them. The Jews who tried to destroy his ministry, Paul was burdened for them. Nine, Paul understands the failure of Israel. And he also understands the solution to the problem. And the solution to the problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul understands the failure of Israel. And he also understands the solution to the problem. And the solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles, he never, 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 ever abandons his concern for the Jewish people. Even though Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles, he never abandons his concern for the Jewish people. 11. He never abandons his desire for their salvation. He never abandons his desire for their salvation. So verses 1 and 2, I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. In Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart. And then verse 3. And I don't know of anyone who has ever said what the Apostle Paul says in verse 3. What he's willing to be. Well, the word is, you know the word anathema. It's anathema is the Greek word, anathema. He said, I would be willing to be cursed, anathema, placed in the lake of fire, if it meant that the Jewish people would believe in Christ as their Savior. Wow. So verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the imperfect of the verb elkomai plus the personal pronoun ego with the intensive pronoun autos plus the present active infinitive of the to-be verb eimi with the noun anathema, which again transliterated and you read it as anathema. The post-positive conjunction gar is the explanatory use of gar. Gar introduces the explanation of the Apostle Paul's great sorrow and pain in his heart. And then we have the verb elkomai. looks like that in the Greek. That's E-U-C-H-O-M-A-I. Elkomai. Now, some of you would probably call it Eukomai, but they pronounced all the letters in the Greek. It didn't go U, they would say E-U. El. Elkomai. Now, that's just a little Greek there. Help you out. One. The verb elkomai is a verb for, first of all, a verb for prayer. It's a verb for prayer. Two, elkomai means to pray for someone. To pray for someone. And three, the Apostle Paul is constantly praying for the salvation of the Jewish people. Can you pray for unbelievers? Yes. Can you pray for their salvation? Absolutely. Paul constantly prayed for the salvation of the Jewish people. That's one of the areas of your prayers and your prayer life every day. And I know most of you, if not all of you, have a fantastic prayer life every day. And a part of that prayer is praying for others, and including praying for those who have not believed in Christ as their Savior. Praying that the grace gospel is given to them. And we have done that. Deb and I have done that. We did that. I did that with my father. And my mom was a believer when she got married. My dad was not. He married an unbeliever. And there was a lot of problems in their marriage, a lot of difficulties for quite a while. And I told all my brothers and my sister, you pray for Dad every day. You pray and give, when you get a chance, you give him the grace gospel. Every chance you get, you give him the grace gospel and pray for his salvation. He's an unbeliever. And so I was praying for Dad. Brother Don was praying for Dad. Brother Mike was praying for Dad. Brother Dave was praying for Dad. Sister Judy was praying for Dad. He didn't have a chance. We're all praying for Dad and praying for his salvation and giving the gospel. I said, every time you get a chance, give him the grace gospel. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. I remember I went in one time and Dad was sitting on the side of the bed smoking. Sitting in his skivvies smoking a cigarette. That's not a good deal right there, I'll tell you. So I went in there and sat down next to him. I said, Dad, are you all right? Oh, I just don't know. Everything going on in the world, I feel so bad for you kids. And you got to live in this world with everything. That was a long time ago. And I said, Dad, God is in control. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. God has a plan for the world, for America, plan for every one of us. And then I gave him the grace gospel. And he says, oh, no, I'm too much of a sinner. No way I could go to heaven, not with all the sins I've committed. I said, Dad, right there, you have one foot in heaven right now. You have to know you're a sinner before you seek a Savior. You know you're a sinner. Jesus Christ on the cross paid the penalty for every single one of your sins. You think you're too bad to be in heaven? You're not. Everybody's too bad to be in heaven. But Christ paid the penalty on the cross for all of your sins, Dad, every one of them. And for the whole world. You got to know you're a sinner before you seek a Savior. You got to know you're sick before you go to a doctor. And my dad believed in Christ as a Savior. Same thing with Debbie. Her mother was a believer. Her father was an unbeliever. But he didn't think he was a sinner. Everybody told Debbie's dad, and He was the nicest, one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, Debbie's dad. Everybody told him how great he was. Nobody, you're just a good man, great man. He didn't think he was a sinner. But every time he came here, and they always came here in the summer, they always come visit, and then that day, everybody in Upland Bible Church knew we were going to get the gospel about 50 different ways today. And he heard it over and over again. No one will be in heaven by your good works. And I knew that's where he was standing on. His good works. Not one person will be in heaven because of your good works. It's only by faith in Christ and His work on the cross for you. We all are sinners. We all need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, one Redeemer. Well, he heard it again and again and again and again. And he was getting, well, Deb and I, we prayed for her dad just as we prayed for my dad. And I still hear Deb in bed and crying, saying, I can't take it if my dad is going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. I said, well, just pray. He's heard the grace gospel. Just keep praying. And late in his life, you see, God assigns, if God knows the ones who are going to believe in Christ and those who are not. And for those who are going to believe in Christ, God assigns a guardian angel to protect you, to make sure you get to that point when you believe in Christ. Well, Deb's dad had a guardian angel protecting him. And that guardian angel in his trailer said, Bob, why are you fighting this? Why are you fighting this? Why you're fighting believing in Christ for eternal salvation? And then he thought, why am I fighting this? And then he went over to Lori, Debbie's sister, and said, this guy in my unit told me, why am I fighting this? And now tell me once again exactly what I got to do to have eternal salvation. Lori told him. And he says, I want to call Debbie right now. And so Lori calls Deb and she says, you are not going to believe what your dad, he wants to say to you. And so he said, Deb, I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he says, and I know it's not by my good works. I know it's only by faith in Christ. And so Debbie didn't talk anymore. She just sat on the phone and cried, you know. So you pray. One of the areas of your prayers is praying for unbelievers that the grace gospel is given clearly to them. And you pray for their salvation that they might believe in Christ as their Savior. So the Apostle Paul is constantly praying for the salvation of the Jewish people. For the imperfect tense of eukomai, and this is very important, the imperfect tense of eukomai is the voluntative imperfect. Voluntative. The voluntative imperfect. And the voluntative imperfect suggests that the subject of the verb, the Apostle Paul, would have liked to do something, could almost have done something. That's the voluntative imperfect. Paul would have liked to do something, could have almost have done something. Five, the indicative mood is the potential indicative. The potential indicative expresses an impulse. An impulse. Six, Elkomai also means to wish for something. So it is a verb for prayer. It's also a verb to wish for something. 7, the Apostle Paul has a very intense wish for the salvation of the Jewish people. A very intense wish for the salvation of the Jewish people. 8, in his burden for Israel, Paul has gone as far as he can go to demonstrate his great virtue love for the Jewish people. In his burden for Israel, Paul has gone as far as he can go to demonstrate his great virtue love for the Jewish people. 9, he wished that he would be anathemad, accursed. We have anathema, anai, autos, ego. That I myself were accursed. That I myself were accursed. So, verse 3, for I could wish that I myself would be anathemat, would be accursed, which means, and then he's going to amplify that I would be willing to be separated from Christ, take away my salvation, put me in the lake of fire, if it meant that the Jewish people would believe in Christ as their Savior. Whew. That's heavy stuff. So we'll take a break, give you a chance to go out and have some goodies. And if you get too cold in here, go out and warm up outside. We'll start in a few with part 2.
I'll tell you what, I had no idea that...